And it's high time all of us were aware of this fact. There are those who walk amongst us as human beings, but who are more than human beings. There are such things as gods, and they walk amongst us. They control our destiny. They control us through newspapers. They control us through money. And they control us through religion and spiritual confusion and drugs.
Indeed. All right, we'll pause right there with Credo Mood. We'll come back and get in touch with David Icke, who is standing by, been with us for the whole program as well. Extraordinary information for you to consider and do with it what you will, but we put it out there for you 6 nights a week, 3 hours a night, coast to coast, and around the world live on the net. And don't forget, all of our programs are available to you anytime at all via the archives on the homepage at sightings.com, courtesy of broadcast.com, and we'll be back. All right, hour number three, and David Icke is with us, Credo Mutwa, live from South Africa. One or two more questions, and we're going to let Credo get some rest. He is, if he joined us late, the 78-year-old official historian of his Zulu nation, an extraordinary man who has accumulated just vast knowledge through a lifetime of experience and research of African history. Control of the planet over thousands of years by the reptilians, and when he met David Icke, as you can imagine, they had a lot to talk about. Credo, one or two final questions. What do the grays look like? Have you seen a gray yourself? You mentioned you were an abductee.
Sir, I swear to you by your sacred parents that I, Credo Mutwa, have seen these creatures close up. I didn't know what they were. That was in 1959. Mm-hmm. And I've got injuries to prove it, which are still there even now. When I have a bleeding through the nose, I bleed through only one nostril, my right nostril, mm-hmm. into which one of these little monsters put its a instrument of some kind very painfully into that nostril.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, the grey Mandindan, as we call them, the tormentors of people, they don't look like they look like. Their eyes, which are like little goggles, black goggles, are actually that, see. They are covers over their real eyes. They have got, a Mandindan has got a very large head with very thin limbs. And the first thing that you notice when you see one
mm-hmm.
is its eyes. It is, the Mandindan is about 3 feet high. It's rather thin with long legs and long arms. And it smells very, very oddly, a kind of chemically smell which can give you a headache. And what you think is the color of the Mandindan is really a very tight-fitting costume which hides the real creature under it.
I see.
Why do I say so, sir?
Mm-hmm.
Because Mandindan have been killed in South Africa over generations, and when they are killed, let's say if one of their craft falls down
mm-hmm.
and by some means they fall out and they lie there in the rubbish and they are dead,
mm-hmm.
either their friends recover the dead ones quickly or they leave it there, and African sangomas find the dead Mandindan and they cut it, they chop it to pieces. But if you want to chop this creature to pieces, you need a very sharp axe of the type such as lumberjacks use
huh.
in order to split the gray skin of the Mandindan to get at the creature underneath.
So the little suit that they are wearing is very strong.
Yes, it needs a very, very sharp axe. Mm-hmm. An ordinary axe will not cut through. Mm. And you will see that the eyes are really goggles, which hide the real eyes of the Mandindan. And the real eyes of the Mandindan are exactly like those of a Chitauli. They are squarish slightly, with split pupils like those of a cat. And the creature itself is, it looks like an animal which has been skinned inside the tight-fitting costume that it wears. And what happens is that when a dead Mandindan is found and chopped up by African shamans, they eat this creature. And it's an incredible and terrible experience. They eat pieces of this creature, and they develop, as I did, a terrible rash all over their bodies.
You ate some of this?
Yes, sir. In fact, this is what I thought caused the trouble of my being kidnapped in 1959, because in 58, in Lesotho, the little kingdom inside South Africa,
yes,
we had eaten pieces of this creature as a sacred ritual of eating a god,
mm-hmm,
because our people believe that these creatures are gods, and a god must not be buried in the earth, but must be ritually eaten by the people who have found its corpse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you eat a Mandindan, it tastes like copper. It tastes like if you take a copper coin and suck it like a sweet.
Mm-hmm.
It has got a strong coppery taste, and then it makes your tongue to swell. It makes a terrible rash lasting 3 to 4 days to erupt all over your body. And you go crazy. You start laughing like a fool. You can't breathe properly, and you can't eat properly. And if you survive that terrible eating of the god, you get crazy. Say, it's as if it's an unearthly experience of such great ecstasy. Although your body is burning like fire, although your heart is beating irregularly, you feel this terrible ecstasy. This is why high shamans in my country eat the flesh of a Mandindan, in order to have this experience.
Mm.
So people who say that these creatures are imaginary, why are we able to eat them? And why have they been eaten in Africa for so long?
Yes.
And why do they smell? And you know, sir, a woman or a man who was kidnapped by Mandindan carries a smell on him or her which lasts for many weeks, a definite recognizable smell. I carried such a smell after I had been through their hands, and when I came into various villages, every dog went hysterical and wanted to tear me to pieces. And my teachers had to use a large bar of blue soap in order, as well as sheep dip, in order to try and kill the smell which was driving the animals crazy.
God, they sheep dipped you. Wow.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Extraordinary. Go ahead.
And another interesting thing, sir, is this. In Africa, the Mandindan sometimes mutilate animals.
Mm-hmm.
They not only mutilate domestic animals, such as cattle and sheep and even poor cats and dogs, but they also mutilate wild animals. Many times, working with game rangers, I have seen wild animals which have been mutilated by these creatures, And you know what happens? The Africa has got scavenger animals and scavenger birds.
Sure, sure.
If an animal has been mutilated by Mandindan, the scavengers such as vultures and hyenas will not touch it.
Same situation here. It is the same situation over here in the United States with the animals who are mutilated. The coyotes won't come near it, and the birds, scavengers, the same thing.
And a person, a human being, who has been mutilated by Mandindane, always has a small hole in his or her body through which every organ, heart, lungs, intestines, everything appears to have been sucked out. And that person will remain unrotting in the coffin afterwards for many, many months. Hmm. I've seen this many times.
Fascinating. So we have parallels in animal mutilation to explore, much to talk about. Credo, we're going to let you go now, and what I'd like to do is, on behalf of all our people listening, thank you for getting up so early. Thank you for sharing your knowledge, your experiences, and I would like to speak to you again at some point and do some more talk about your heritage and history, if you will.
Yes, sir. I am thankful, sir, and I'm honored. All I'm asking is that people of America, please investigate these things. Don't laugh at them. Don't be overly skeptical.
Indeed. Thank you, Credo Mudwa, very much. Okay, we'll pause and come right back with David Icke. The most extraordinary program, to be sure. Okay, we're back, and David Icke will be with us for the remainder of the program. Videos and David's blockbuster underground bestseller, The Biggest Secret, are available at 1-800-444-2524. So write that number down, 1-800-444-2524. Or you can visit David's website at davidicke.com, and that's spelled I-C-K-E, I-C-K-E, davidicke.com. David, quite a man. It must have just blown more than one or two of your circuits to run into someone like that who had all that knowledge, which really dovetails with an extraordinary amount of your research.
It is extraordinary, and what he was talking about there was taking us on from so many points that we've been at in terms of, for instance, the Greys are the Greys. Well, mm-hmm. As he's explained on the videos and also tonight, there's a creature inside that apparent exterior which looks very different. They know them as Pinky Pinky in Africa because they're like a pinky scaled creature inside with the reptilian eyes. And so many efforts. I mean, he indicated it a bit at one point there when he was talking about security firms around him and stuff like this. The efforts in Africa to shut him up are just extraordinary. Once I started talking to him, he was visited by two people who left him a note. And I saw the note, and it said, if you don't shut up revealing this stuff, then mm-hmm. your wife's going to die. And his wife did die very suddenly. She had cancer, but it was not meant to, in the normal course of events, to have been that quick. Mm-hmm. And he showed me, he mentioned it just earlier, he showed me the x-ray of his wife, and there is an extraordinary metallic object in the womb where she had the cancer. And he's been offered money in the last fortnight, and a home, a house in anywhere he wants to name in South Africa. But the deal was he had to never talk to me again and refuse to see me again. So this guy knows things that so many efforts have taken place in Africa in the last few years to stop him revealing.
Well, the general obliteration of African history obviously has in mind covering up all sorts of interesting things.
Yeah, I mean, what makes Credo so controversial and so dangerous to the Illuminati in Africa is that it's not I'm black and all whites are bad stance that he comes from. He points out that the black African bloodlines of the royal bloodlines go back to the same source, claim descendants from these same reptilian gods. And just as in the rest of the world where the aristocratic families and the royal families, those bloodlines in the more modern world have gone into the banking streams, into the political streams, and manifested in other ways. So the same as applied to these so-called royal lines of Africa. He gives the example of Robert Mugabe in Zimbabwe, who is a royal line, and he points out that again and again, and you'll find this phenomenon all over the world, if there's a rebellion against injustice in Africa, first of all, you'll have something coming from the people and someone orchestrating that rebellion from the people. And then as it reaches fruition and a change of power is close to taking place, then suddenly that original instigator will be removed in some way, and in will come someone who takes over and becomes the president or the leader when power changes places. And he says every single time, when you do the genealogy and the history of these people that come in and take over, they go back to the royal lines of the black African people who claim descendants from these gods. And this is starts to explain, again, he talks about bloodline and their obsession with blood and why they need blood. We start to get a bigger picture here of exactly what's going on. And it seems to me that the ruling power in the world that's expanded itself from the ancient world to its global point today are actually the same bloodlines, and those bloodlines are reptilian, and actually we're being controlled by a force that has been unseen over thousands of years, and it's now at last being identified.
The hardest part for most people to accept is the concept that someone like George Bush or Henry Kissinger or the royal family, in fact, are actually lizards and can metamorphose or shapeshift into that lizard format on demand, so to speak. But I don't know if that's the point. I think the point is there's an evil on the planet and it has a genesis somewhere.
Yeah, I understand how people find that hard to believe. I mean, from the perspective of life that we live from cradle to grave, it's absolutely ridiculous from that perspective. But this phenomena is being seen by increasing numbers of people. And when you go back and you read the ancient accounts of, like, the Nagas gods in the Indus Valley culture, They were said to be able to take either human or reptilian form and be able to move between the two. Then you talk to Credo and the African experience, and they tell the same story of the shape-shifting. And you asked an interesting question earlier, and I'm kind of asking the same thing myself. Are they actually manifesting physically in a human form, or are they somehow kidding our minds that they look like that? I can't answer that question yet, but what I'm absolutely convinced of is that this phenomena of reptilian beings operating on another vibration, if you like, another dimension, another vibrational field, are operating through particular bloodlines. And it seems to me that these bloodlines, these crossbreeds that go back to these reptilian gods, actually have a genetic, therefore, vibrational compatibility with these beings on this, what I call, lower fourth dimensional level, what some people call the lower astral, the place of the demons in folklore. And somehow, they can wear these particular bloodline bodies like an overcoat, which means, very simply, if you can manipulate the bloodline, the physical expression of this, into a position of power, what you're actually doing is putting these non-three-dimensional beings into those positions of power. But because they look human and because they have different names, we think they're not connected and we think they're human.
Yep. All right, hold on, David, right there. We'll pause and come right back after this. All right, we're back with David Icke. Let me give you the 800 number once again to order David's videos. Just out with Credo, and they are supposed to be stunning, as you can get an idea tonight. 1-800-444-2524. 1-800-444-2524 for the videos, information, and his book, The Biggest Secret, which is continuing to sell like crazy all over the world, actually. We'll try and get a couple of calls in this half hour. David, in all of your journey, and I've been Boy, I tell you, watching and listening, we've been friends for a number of years now. You see things. I'm watching your evolution, as it were. I remember how it was when we first talked, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, and how it is now. Do you see any end to this? Are you getting closer to getting a handle on it all, or is it just getting to be more and more fantastic as you work down the road?
Well, it's getting more and more explainable, funny enough. My journey has been very much like putting a jigsaw puzzle together, and the key point came to me a few years ago.